Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. So, anyway, I seem to be getting an echo. So let me see if I can resolve that. Anyway, how is everybody today? God bless you. Hope you are doing okay. All my listeners from around the world. And from the United States, we want to welcome you. And today we're going to talk about a very timely topic on tithing. Now, is tithing for today? Does God curse you if you don't tithe? A lot of the prosperity preachers will tell you that you'll be cursed if you don't tithe. But what does the Bible say? And we have a special guest today, Ron Roby, who I call the Bible answer man of tithing. And anyway, I just posted, if you could tell me in the chat room, do you hear an echo? If you can tell me, I'd appreciate it because I am picking up a slight echo here. And I want to make sure that that's not coming across on the sound. So somebody in the chat room, let me know how it sounds, if you're picking up an echo here or not. Okay? All right, then I'm going to bring my guest on. Ron Roby. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Susan. How are you?
Good. Very good. I will, all right. So I'm not getting anybody. Anyway, anybody in the chat room, let me know if you're picking up an echo on my voice because I'm hearing one in my headset and I want to make sure that we're not echoing back and forth here. So, my guest, Ron, is in the process of writing another book on the subject of tithing, and he has already written a few books on the subject. And don't you wish, Ron, don't you just wish that the people who call themselves Bible teachers would at least read the Bible?
Well, you would think that they would. And, you know, the sad part is that many actually do. I mean, I can admit that when I was in the denominational church that I was a member of, the pastor preached from the Bible. He would tell you to open the Bible and read the scriptures to you as you was reading along. And, you know, you saw what he was seeing. That's the problem. When they open the Bible and read it, and when they teach it through the lens of, or the tainted lens, I should say, of denominational tradition, rather than through the eye of the Spirit.
Very, very true. Of course, we know that the tithing doctrine in the New Testament church has been very successful. It's made many preachers very wealthy, and many denominations very wealthy. But didn't Jesus say that the just shall live by faith?
He certainly did. And, you know, sadly, the tithing doctrine shows a lack of faith rather than a exhibition of faith. The pastor is not showing faith in God to take care of the needs. Rather, he's showing a desire for the people themselves to take care of the needs. And yes, the people do. The people of God will take care of needs. And as the people of God, we're supposed to take care of needs. But the fact is when we look at Scripture, we see that when the people did not have enough to take care of a certain need, God supplied. And God has promised to supply our needs. I'm reminded of the lad with the small lunch, the fishes and loaves. There were 5,000 people that day that needed to eat. Actually, it was more than that because it didn't include the women and children. It was just 5,000 men. There were women and children also, obviously, so it could have been as many as 10, 15, 20,000 people. We don't know exactly the number, but it was one child that had a lunch for himself. I mean, and yet Jesus miraculously took that which was not enough and made it enough for everyone with some left over. And God can do the same thing with pastors if they will teach the truth concerning tithing and teach the people to love God and to love their fellow man. I'm sure that's what happened with the little boy. I'm sure Jesus said, you know, if you love the people around you, you can see something happen here. And he gave that. He said, you know, he allowed Jesus to use that which he had, and which was very little. And that's all we have to do. We have to practice that faith in Christ that he will supply our need and that he will make that little amount a great amount.
Yes, amen. Jesus said that, and I'll read a couple of scriptures here, Luke 11:42. Now, this is Jesus talking. He's talking to these Pharisees, and we have a lot of Pharisees in the church today. So we're going to direct it toward the Pharisees in the church. For ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Now, 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. And notice the word necessity there. The word necessity means not because you have to. You're not required to give 10%. That's up to you. Not of necessity, not because they're telling you you have to do this, otherwise you're cursed, blah, blah, and you have not of necessity. That also means not because you need something, but for God loveth a cheerful giver. Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Weightier matters, that means that these are more important, okay? Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Now here's the famous Malachi scripture. Now I'll have my guest, the Bible answer man, on tithing. I will have him explain to you exactly what Malachi 3 means. Now, here's the famous one, Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have ye robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Malachi 3:10. Oh, don't you always hear this one every week in most churches? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and they tell you the storehouse is the local church, that there may be meat in mine house. Now notice it says meat there. I don't know that. Ron, I never saw a dollar bill made out of a steak. Have you?
Not yet.
No. It says there'll be meat in mine house. When meat means food. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, most pastors will tell you on Sunday now, You see, when you bring your 10% here to the storehouse, God opens up the windows of heaven. He rains money down from the sky. He pours you out a blessing because you gave to get. You gave to get, they teach you. Now,
that's
Ron,
what do those
scriptures really mean?
Okay, well, let's back up just a second to the first verses that you mentioned there, Luke chapter 11 and verse 42, and Matthew 23:23, its sister verse. We see in those verses some important truths here that many people need to actually concentrate on. You know, the Pharisees were tithing, and they were tithing that which the law required. If you notice, they were tithing agricultural produce. Spices and herbs from the gardens.
Yes.
And the law said that they were supposed to tithe that which grew from the field. So spices and herbs were actually required to be tithed from. So they were doing what was required. And Jesus said that you've done this. But the fact is, whenever you're tithing, you're actually showing a lack of the things that Jesus said you ought to have done. Now, notice what Jesus said. He said, you've passed over or you've neglected the justice and mercy and faith. Well, when you're taking that 10% to your local church, you're neglecting somebody that's on the street. You're neglecting somebody in your neighborhood, a single mother who is struggling with her two children because her husband has passed away, or a single mother who has children because of a rape. Whatever the case may be, there are people in need that most tithers will just thumb their noses at, more or less. I mean, figuratively, of course, but they neglect these people and pass them by on the street. Sometimes every day, and head to their local church with that money. Now, that money yeah. could have helped somebody that was in need, and yet they've neglected it. See, they've neglected justice and mercy and faith in taking that money to their church instead of giving it to those that are in need. And that's a matter of oppression. You're just as guilty of oppression, oppressing the poor, as you are if you are stopping in front of a beggar and telling him, I ain't giving you none of my money. It's basically the same thing. So we have to be aware of the needs around us. That's the thing that Jesus wants us to be aware of. He wants us to be aware of things that people around us that are in need. If the money would do better in the pocket of a poor person, then we ought to give it to that poor person. The Bible says that if we say we love God, but we don't help out that person in need, how dwells the love of God in us? But now, right. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, you mentioned that, and that also, the interesting thing about that verse, I use the King James, and the word purpose, in the modern versions, it's the word purpose, but in or as you have decided. And the King James says, as each man as he has purposeth in his heart. Well, the word purposeth there is translated from the Greek, proeriomai. And that word proeriomai actually means to choose for oneself. So right yeah. there shows that the tithe is not to be dictated to you. You're not supposed to allow anyone to say, you've got to give me 10% of your money. You're giving, the gifts that you give are supposed to be voluntary. Otherwise, they're not really gifts. They're forced. That which is forced is not done in love. Now, Malachi chapter 3.
Yeah, I read that.
Right. Well, you can't say I love you and I'm giving you this because you're demanding it. See, that's not love. That's not love at all.
No.
You know, if
no,
you're no. saying I see a need. I see you have a need, and I've got this money here that can help this need. I want to give it to you. That's love. But now Malachi
That's
chapter
love.
3. Right. Malachi chapter 3. You mentioned that, and we'll get into that now. Malachi chapter 3, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. Malachi was not speaking to the people, the congregation, or the children of Israel, I should say, he was speaking directly to the priest of the temple. Now, today we can see that God might say the same thing to the priest, to the preacher in the pulpit. You've robbed me. How have they robbed you? Well, they've robbed him by not allowing him to have authority in the body of Christ. Because God's word says that the tithe is agricultural. It doesn't say that it is monetary. It says it's agricultural. We can see that in Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 through 33. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 through 29. Deuteronomy 26, verse 26:12. And then even in the passage here that we're discussing, Malachi chapter 3, that there may be food in my house, meat, the King James says, which exactly is food. What we see is that the pastor is robbing God of his authority in the body of Christ. God says, my tithe is agricultural. The pastor says, God's tithe is money. Now, which one of these two is lying? Which one of these two actually has authority in the believer's life, or is to have authority in the believer's life? It should be God. But getting into Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 clearly tells us that it was a priest. We can see that if we read the entire book in context. You go back to chapter 1 and verse 1, and verse 1 says that it is the burden of the Lord to the children of Israel, which would include everybody. It would include the 12 tribes of Israel, and it would include anybody that's in Israel, the children of Israel. But now the focus changes when you get to verse 6 and verse 7. The focus changes from the congregation to the preachers, to the priests of the temple, because it speaks of offering blind and lame offerings or sacrifices on the altar. Now, no one could actually offer offerings and sacrifices on the altar but the priests themselves. And so we know that God was focusing on the priest. And he even said, "Oh, ye priest, you're defiling my temple." In the first chapter there, start at verse 6 and go down, you'll see that the priests were defiling the temple by offering things that were unacceptable on the altar of God. Now we get into chapter 2, and we see the very first verse. It says, "And now, O ye priests." Notice it didn't say, "O ye congregation." Notice it didn't say, "Ye children of Israel." And notice especially that it didn't say, "Church member." It said, "O ye priest, this commandment is for you." Now you have to ask, which commandment is Malachi speaking of in Malachi 2:1? Because when you look at the scripture there, you look at that entire chapter of Malachi 2, you'll see that there is no commandment given whatsoever in that chapter. Now, you don't see a commandment until you get to chapter 3. Yeah. And this is the text that we're actually getting into with the will of man rob God. You see the commandment in verse 7 of chapter 3. The commandment is three simple words. Return unto me. Return unto me, God said. That is the commandment that God had for the priest of Israel. Return to me. Well, the priest questioned God. They said, "Wherein shall we return? Or how are we supposed to return, Lord? What are we supposed to return?" And that's when God asked them the next question. He answered their question with a question. He said, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye," he's still talking to the priest, "ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me." Now let's get into even this whole nation, because many people will say that this, The nation there is proves that the nation should have been tithing and that the nation had robbed God into tithes. Actually, the nation did not rob God into tithes. You have to go back into the book of Malachi, as we went before and showed that Malachi was actually addressing the priest. Now, when God said, even this whole nation, he wasn't saying the nation robbed God. He was saying to the priest, you've robbed me, and you've also robbed the nation. This is what he's saying, and I'm going to show you how they did it, because the scripture clearly shows us in Malachi that how he did it. But let's, before we get into how he did, how they were robbing the nation, let's get into the book of Nehemiah for just a minute. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 37 and 38. Now Malachi, or Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 37 and 38 tells us the order that God had for tithing. The congregation, which was the children of Israel, were to take their first fruits to the temple. But that Malachi or Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 37 and 38 tells us that the temple is the house of God. Okay, and they were to take their first fruits to the house of God, and then they were to take it into the storehouse chambers. But according to the same passage in Nehemiah 10, we see that the children of Israel were to take their tithes to the Levites in the cities of our tillage, the King James says. This would be the farming community. They were to take the first fruits one place and the tithes another place. So that shows right there that tithes could not be first fruits, as people claim. Many churches say the tithe is supposed to come out right off the top. This verse here clearly shows that it doesn't. But at any rate, we look at the scripture and we see that the children of Israel were supposed to tithe, take their tithe to the farming communities in the land of Canaan. Now, they gave them to the Levites, according to this passage. And also according to this passage, a priest, one of the sons of Aaron, was supposed to be at the farming community at the time that the tithe was given. How many people today have Aaronic priests in their churches who are present when they give their alleged tithes? Because according to scripture, an Aaronic priest must be given or must be present. Even in Numbers chapter 18, we see that the priest is present when the tithes are given, verses 24 through 29. And so getting back to Nehemiah for just a second, we see that the children of Israel were to tithe in the farming communities, and then Nehemiah says that the Levites were to take a tithe of the tithe to the house of God, to the storehouse chambers. Okay, so there's an order that God had for tithing, and people were not, the children of Israel, the congregation, those who were not working at the temple, were not even required or authorized to tithe to the temple. We don't see that today. The congregation is made to tithe to the temple or to the church, not the temple. But so people of the churches are not operating in the same manner that God decreed his tithe was to be observed. Now, getting back to Malachi, okay, Malachi, we can see now that the tithe of the children of Israel had actually tithed to the house of God. Nehemiah said that they were not to the house of God, but they tithed to the Levites, and the Levites brought the tithes to the house of God. But notice in Malachi's rebuke in chapter 3, the Levites are not mentioned at all. They're not mentioned. The children of Israel are mentioned in the first chapter, and then the Levites are not mentioned as far as the rebuke in chapter 3 are not mentioned at all. It's the priests who are. So the Levites are not mentioned. We see in this that the children of Israel had actually taken their tithe to the Levites. The Levites had taken the tithe of the tithe that was required to the house of God. But the priests themselves were the ones that Malachi was bringing the rebuke. Ye have robbed me, too. They had robbed God. And in robbing God, they robbed the nation. How did they rob the nation? Well, they robbed the nation because their act of disobedience, their taking the good things of the altar that were supposed to be sacrificed on the altar and keeping them for themselves and offering the lame and the blind, their removal of the tithes, all of this was done by the priests. And God said that because that they had done that, they had robbed the nation. Well, how did they rob the nation? Well, they brought the curse upon the nation. The windows of heaven had closed. There was no rain on the land, and crops And crops were dying before they could mature. And besides that, the curse that was brought upon the land brought locusts that were eating what little was there. And so that's how they had robbed the nation. They had robbed the nation of food, and they had robbed the nations of the nation of the rain from heaven to water the crops, and they had robbed the nation of God's blessing upon the nation. And God said, "You bring the tithe back. That return unto me." He was saying, "Return the tithe. Return the tithe from where you took it, from the storehouse." It was the priest that had robbed God. And God said, if you will bring this back, prove me in this, I'll open the windows of heaven once again. We have to look at the windows of heaven according to Genesis chapter 7, verse 5. The windows of heaven opened and the rain fell on the earth for the first time. And the earth was flooded. We know the story of Noah and the ark. And in Genesis 8, 2, we see that the windows of heaven closed. And when the windows of heaven closed, it stopped raining. So windows of heaven in Malachi is actually speaking of rain, and the rain would fall upon the earth. And he said, once the windows of heaven are opened, I'm going to pour out a blessing, or I'm going to make it rain, and there will not be enough room to receive the blessing that I'm giving you. That blessing would be the crops growing so much that the barns would be completely full. And that's exactly what Solomon told his son in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10. He said that, you know, if you honor the God with your substance, your vats will be full of new wine and your barns will be full. This was not about a monetary tithe at all. God was speaking of agricultural products. He wanted the tithe of the land. And there's a reason for the tithe of the land. And I'm going to be sharing that in my book as well, my upcoming book called the Biblical Tithe. It'll be a few weeks before I actually get it finished. I'm waiting on a foreword right now from David Lee. But the tithe of
David
the land.
Lee, yeah, the author of Sunday Morning Stick-Up.
Right. The tithe of the
and
land
it's true,
is actually
it's a Sunday Morning Stick-Up, yeah.
Right. The tithe of the land is actually speaking of the land of Canaan. And if people would study the word of God with the mind of the Spirit, they would receive understanding in this matter with no doubt, rather than looking at it through the lens of what my religion or what my denomination teaches. We need to study the word of God through the lens of the Holy Spirit and through the mind of Christ. Because if we look at the tithe of the land, according to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verses 1, 10, and 11, we'll see that the tithe of the land, or that the land that God was speaking of where the tithe was to come from, was the land of Canaan. It's not a worldwide tithe, but it was a centralized tithe. It was in a specific geographical location. And that was the land of Canaan. He said, when you cross over Jordan and enter into Canaan to dwell there, and you find rest from your enemies, then you shall bring your tithes and your vows and your offerings and so on and so forth. It was not until they actually entered into the land of Canaan to dwell in the land of Canaan that God wanted tithes observed. So the tithe of the land in Leviticus chapter 27 is actually speaking of land, a specific land. It's not speaking of the entire earth. It's speaking of a specific geographic location, that land of Canaan.
Yeah, that's interesting, you know, right there. That's interesting, and I want to get into that more. I just wanted to read a few scriptures here also.
Okay.
Now, these scriptures are coming from the Old Testament, and the Old Testament talks about giving. And notice this now, and this is really a pattern of what we're supposed to do in the New Testament, because we have a New Testament now with Jesus Christ, and it's based on the royal law of love. Exodus 25:2, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. Judges 5:9, my heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord.
Amen.
Let me read a couple more of these. Amen. 1 Chronicles 29:9, then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Hallelujah. 1 Chronicles 29:14. But who am I, and what is my people, that ye should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Now, if this is Old Testament, these are offerings. They were given willingly with great joy. That's
Amen.
The way we're supposed to behave. Not, oh, we go there on Sunday, they beat us over the head for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, beat us over the head with, you better give your money over here, otherwise the locusts are going to come in. One guy was even saying, your refrigerator is going to break down. Your dryer could break down. You won't have any house insurance. You might even have trouble in your marriage. That's what these preachers were telling people if they don't give their tithes. Imagine going somewhere on Sunday, leaving your house after you spend time getting dressed and putting on your makeup and everything. Then you have to ride over to the place for 15 minutes, half an hour. Some people drive an hour. And you go there and you sit. And then you get beat up while you're there. They tell you you're cursed. They put fear in you. Then they don't bring your wallet when you go, or don't go, because it's a stick up. And let's see, Ezra 1:6, and all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, and with precious things beside, all that was willingly offered. Ezra 3:5, and afterward offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moons and of all the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and of every one that willingly offered a free will offering unto the Lord. Now, this is Old Testament, so how many times have you heard your pastor say that on Sunday? How many times? Probably none. Maybe there might be some pastors out there that tell people the truth. But I also wanted to just give a shout out to my listening audience on Rapture Ready Radio, and we just picked up a new outlet for our program, Eternity Ready Radio. Will be playing our program, so we want to praise God for that. Okay, so Ron, what do you make of that?
Well, you know, getting back to the original, I can't remember all the texts you gave, but the original one you just gave in this particular section of the show, Exodus chapter 25, verse 2, you know, they were to bring a willing offering, and that lines up with what we shared earlier on 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Our offering should be a willing offering, and it should not be coerced. And that's what was continued. That was actually continued from the old to the new, but it was actually a second set of laws. It was not the same laws. The problem is that so many people are not told that, as you said, they're not told that they can give an offering willingly. And they're coerced into digging into their pockets deeper. You know, the pastor will a lot of times tell them to stand up so that they're able to dig to the bottom of their pockets. In other words, pastors, the pastor's telling them that, you know, you want to pull everything out. Don't just pull what's on the top out, but you reach all the way down to the bottom and you grab a handful, you know. So, yeah. But
or they
the
make them
is,
go down. They make them get out of their seat and embarrass them by making them go down. Because if you don't go, then you're embarrassed. People are looking at you. They have all kinds of manipulative techniques that they use, psychological bashing that they use on people.
My advice for people, and you mentioned it briefly, you said it, or don't go. And that would be my advice as well. Just don't go. You know, the Bible tells us that God's church, the church of the body of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, this church is built upon a certain foundation. That foundation is the law, or not the law. It's not the law, but the church today is trying to make it the law. But the Bible says that the body of Christ is built on the prophets and the apostles, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. But now, if you study the prophets and the apostles, they did not teach this monetary tithe that's being taught today. Now, the law actually didn't either. But see, the church today is bringing you under a law. They're bringing you into bondage when they teach that God requires you to tithe, and they use certain verses out of the law to show you that God requires you to tithe, just like that Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. They'll read it, or they might even put it up on the overhead, the whole verse, but then they will highlight or enlarge certain words that they want you to focus on. They'll have the word the tithe large, they'll have the words the holy large, or is holy rather, and then they'll have it is the Lord's large, so that you're focused completely on that. And when you focus on certain words in a scripture, you blur the rest of the scripture. And this is what's happening in our church today, where the pastors are focusing on the tithe is the Lord's, the tithe is holy unto the Lord, but they're neglecting the other part of the tithe, the verse that says, or they're blurring the other part of the verse that says the tithe is whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree. See, if they actually would reverse the way they present it, and they only highlighted the part that said whether of the fruit of the land or of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, then people would see that the tithe was actually agricultural and not monetary.
Yeah, I've even heard some preachers actually read the verse where they talk about the tithe being agricultural, but then they have the people so trained and they know that even though they said it, they'll say it, but then they'll put their own interpretation in it, and they always go back then to Malachi 3, and they always go back to teaching that the tithe is money and you have to bring the 10% here. Now, obviously, we know that ministries need money and churches need money to operate. We know that. Nobody has to tell Christians that. I don't know. Like, do they think we're dumb or what? They have to keep banging us over the head with the fact that we're supposed to give. When you're born again, you become a new creation. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. Who gave more than Jesus? He laid down his life for us. So we're supposed to... We're supposed to know that we're supposed to help people and we're supposed to be givers. That just comes naturally to a Christian, really. It comes naturally. But then they take that childlike innocence that we have when we're first born again, and then they start indoctrinating us into fear that we better do this. We have to do this. Otherwise, God's going to curse us because, you know, we have to bring that money to God. What's God going to do with it?
Exactly.
Did they ever tell you that? What's he going to do with it?
That's God. The thing. You know, it actually goes into the church's bank account. But, you know, the whole thing is, you know, when I said that the church is built on the God's church is built on the apostles and the prophets. And this means that it's built on truth. It's not built on a lie. And any church that has to lie to its congregation saying God requires you to tithe your monetary income, the church there is built on a lie. It's not built on truth. And God's not in it. And we shouldn't be in it either if we truly are of the body of Christ.
That's very true. That's very, very true, because the Bible says a little leaven. A little leaven. And we know what leaven is. It's yeast. And you know, yeah, it doesn't take much yeast to make a loaf of bread. A little leaven. So all you need is a little leaven. And it leaven is the whole lump. And we see that we've created basically a church of selfish people that will only do things if they're going to get something back. And I've seen this myself. I remember being in a church, quite a wealthy church, and there was a man there. He was raising three children on his own. His wife left him. And he was working at the church as a sound man and doing janitorial duties, whatever he could do to try to earn an income to support his family. And one Sunday morning, Mike Murdoch blows through, and Mike Murdoch, everybody was so excited. Wow, you know, Mike Murdoch's here. And so what do they do there at the church? They give Mike Murdoch, he was there like for 45 minutes talking. They give him $10,000, $10,000, just like that. And meanwhile, this guy that's working at the church, trying to support his three children, he doesn't have a telephone. I said to him, I'm going to call him Joe. That's not his name. I'm going to say, Joe, can I call you? I wanted to call him about something. And he says, well, I don't have a phone. I said, why don't you have a phone? He said, well, I can't afford it. Okay? So this is the way the pastor treated the church people. But Mike Murdoch comes through town, $10,000, just like that. I said, you know, Jesus, there's something wrong with this picture. Something wrong with this. And then we had this so-called prophetess come through, kind of a well-known lady. She came through one time and she says, you know, I'm trying to adopt children and I need dental work. I need $7,000 worth of dental work done, and I need some extra money for my adoptions. So
yeah, it's amazing the things that they come up with.
I mean, you know, they started passing around the bucket. I'm like,
yeah,
I don't believe this whole thing. You know, what a racket. Hey, please, could you please go get a job and do something honest with your life instead of ripping people off?
And a lot of times these people that are saying, I need $5,000, I need $7,000, I need $100,000 or $10,000 or whatever, a lot of times they're wearing designer clothing where the shirt cost them $3,000 or $4,000. You know?
Yeah, Mike, he's always bragging about his cars. I have this rare car and that rare car, and I live in this mansion. I have that mansion. There's a video on YouTube. You can see he's trying to sell off some of his mansions, and he's on Periscope. He looks like he's drunk. Really, it's awful. He's so messed up. He's really definitely having a Nebuchadnezzar moment. And he's taking you on a tour, really, and he really does look like, he really acts like Nebuchadnezzar when Nebuchadnezzar went crazy on all fours. And
right.
He shows you his houses. And so, yeah, these are the people that come through, and they're bragging about all their wealth and bragging about all the things they have. And what does the pastor do? He gives him more money. And then the pastor says, he's my favorite preacher. He's my best friend, my favorite preacher. Meanwhile, the rest of us sitting there, like the poor guy trying to raise his three kids and doesn't have a telephone, they could have cared less. Either could have the people that were sitting in the congregation. I said, you know what, Lord, there's something wrong. The alarm bells were going off in my head. I can't tell you, for so many years, being wrapped up in tithing, for the first 15 years of my Christianity from 1981 until about 1997 when I quit tithing and I quit seed sowing. And I had to wash my mind out of all those teachings and giving to get, and I'm going to sow this seed so I can get this, and I'm going to give this car away so I can get a bigger car, and I'm going to give this away so I can get a better, I'm going to give this dress away so I can get a nicer dress. It took me a long time to wash my brain out all that. Right, Ron? It takes a while to get your brain washed out.
Brainwashing. When I first saw this tithing message, I mean, I had been tithing for 9 years. Actually, before that, I was tithing. I didn't get saved until 1979. I was saved in an old prison, a dirty prison cell, as a result of two evangelists coming to the prison to witness to me. And I trusted Christ, and I thank God for that day. But, you know, the whole thing is, even before that, I was raised in the Assembly of God Church. My mama brought me up in church.
Oh.
I was in the nursery as an infant, and I went from the nursery as a toddler. I went from the nursery to the Sunday school room and children's church and all that up until I was 19 years old.
Oh.
You know, the thing is I learned the things of God, and I learned the things of the church, and they are not the same. That's the thing, that the church will teach you certain things, but if you really take time to study the Word of God, as the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved. The only way you're going to be approved is if you study. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. But as I studied the word of God, I realized that the tithing thing was not truth, and the monetary tithe requirement. And this did not happen actually until the year that I was ordained, 1988, when I was ordained into the gospel ministry. I had sat down to do a study on stewardship in the Christians, and because I was going to do a series on it for the congregation, and I realized when I started getting into it that I was going to have to teach on the tithing, because that's what God's people do. And I got into the scripture, and I started looking at every single scripture, and I wrote the scriptures down in my book, and I was looking at them. And as I looked and I looked and I thought, wait a minute, where is money mentioned here? Well, maybe it's over here. No, it's not over here. Well, let me check this over here. And every single verse that I went through, I could not find tithing and money connected.
No,
the only place that I could find money connected with tithing, well, there was actually two places where I could find money connected with tithing. One was in Genesis chapter 14 when Melchizedek tithed the spoils of war to, I mean, not Melchizedek, but Abraham tithed to Melchizedek the spoils of war. Money could have been involved there. The scripture does not say. But even if money was involved, it was not Abram's money. It was the spoils of war. It was that which he recovered from the wicked kings that he had killed. And he had promised God, that he would not keep any of that as his own property. So he was not tithing anything of his own that day. So I couldn't really justify the teaching of a monetary tithe through that. I can't say you've got to tithe your monetary income because Moses or Abram tithed somebody else's. See, that doesn't fly. I mean, it's like the dodo bird; it doesn't fly. But the thing is that, you know, the only other place that money is mentioned in regards with tithing is in Deuteronomy chapter 14. And people will use this. I've noticed this on Facebook. People will actually talk to me about tithing, and they'll tell me I'm wrong. You're wrong, Mr. Roby. And they'll say, here is the verse that proves that we are supposed to tithe our money. And they'll take me to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 24 and 25. Now, verse 24 and 25 of Deuteronomy 14 tells us that money is involved. But The problem is what it says. It says that the tithe is agricultural. And if the way that God, where God wants you to tithe at or to observe this tithe, if it's too far, then you can sell the tithe for money. And tithe is the place that God wants you to observe the tithe. And people stop at that verse right there, verse 25.
Can you pull up that scripture? Can you pull it up?
Let me see if I can pull it up real quick.
Yeah, because now that's a great scripture because that scripture tells you, and I don't know, I don't think your pastor ever told you this, really. I don't think he likes that verse because that verse says that, see, they were supposed to take their tithe to the storehouse, right, Ron, once a year.
Right.
They had to
I've
bring
got it pulled up. Yeah.
Okay, so then they had to bring their, if they were going or they couldn't get there, the Lord told them that they could sell it. They could sell their produce or whatever it was. They could sell it and they could buy whatever their soul lusted after. Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, see, the thing is the verse here says, and thou shalt, verse 23 of Deuteronomy 14, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of the corn, of the wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks. Now notice it said that the tithe that you shall eat, it didn't say you shall spend the tithe. Now see, a lot of, but see, these people will, they will read, they'll not read this part that says that you're supposed to eat the tithe. They'll go to the next verse. Okay, but the rest of the verse 23 says that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. So the children of Israel were supposed to eat the tithe that they may learn to fear the Lord, which is interesting.
What about that scripture, though, that tells them that they, if they couldn't get to the storehouse, they could
right. I'm getting into that. But they were to eat the tithe that they may learn to fear the Lord. The word fear there means to respect. It doesn't mean to be scared of. It means to respect. So they were to eat the Lord so that they could learn to respect God. And what they were doing, what it's saying is God, it's recognizing that God gave them the food that they're eating. So look, let's look on further, verse 24. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, then the Lord thy God, or when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money and bind it bind up the money in thine hand, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Now, many people will stop right there at that verse, and they'll say, see, the Bible says that you're supposed to take, if the place is too far, you can sell the tithe for money, and you take that money to the place that God chooses to tithe at. And that proves right there that money can be tithed. Well, actually, it doesn't, because you have to read the verse in context. And context means that you read the verse before and the verse after to get the idea of what's being said. See, they don't go into verse 26. Verse 26 proves
like
that the money
one,
is not tithe.
No.
Verse 26 says, and thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth. And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thy household. Now, right there, it shows that the tithe, even though you have sold it for money, if you was one of the children of Israel that was required to tithe, if you sold it for money, you were to go to the place that God told you to go to, and you were to take that money and buy the food back that you originally were supposed to eat before the Lord, in honor of the Lord, to respect the Lord. And so you buy it back, whatever you want to buy as food products, you buy it back, and you honor the Lord with what you bought back. Nowhere does it say that silver that was bound to the hand was taken to a temple or a tabernacle or a church or a synagogue or a mosque or anywhere else and used as tithe. Nowhere.
No, and the thing is, the modern day church, they'll tell you that, wait a minute now, you have to tithe off of your gross 10% right off the top. And no, don't worry about your house payment. Even some of them tell them this, don't worry about your house payment or your electric bill or whatever. No, you have to give that 10% first. Otherwise, you'll be cursed. But I noticed that the other day I was looking at Creflo Dollar, and I have to say we are making a little bit of headway here with teaching, and people are listening, because even Creflo had to admit, because Creflo was one of those who taught for years that you were cursed if you didn't tithe. But I even heard this come out of Creflo's mouth the other day where he said, now, no, God's not going to curse you if you don't give, if you don't tithe, but you have to do it to honor God, to honor God.
Oh. Right. They're still taking...
They weren't believing you anymore when you were telling them that they were cursed. That people were reading their Bibles.
Exactly. They're still putting people under a curse, though, themselves, because
yes.
What they're doing is yes. they're using the Old Testament law and saying you have to do this. See, you don't have you don't have to tithe to avoid a curse, but you still have to tithe to honor God. And nowhere does
well,
the
that's what
New
they
Testament
tell you. Now they
that.
Want to make it. Yeah, they want to make it religious. Now it's spiritual. Now that God forbid they should tell people the truth. And can you understand for the life of you? It gets me every time, really. When people accuse you of saying that they actually get angry because you're telling them the truth. And then they accuse you of, well, you know, we're supposed to give, you know. Well, okay, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I never told anybody they weren't supposed to give. I don't ever remember saying that. People don't even listen because they're so brainwashed by these religious leaders that they don't even think for themselves. And even when you present it to them, it's liberty. It's liberty. Really.
Exactly.
Jesus said that we're free. We can be free. And freedom is a lot better than bondage, I'll tell you. It's a lot better.
Well,
I don't
I think
have to be afraid
problems.
That God's gonna do something to me because I didn't give him 10% of my money. I know God loves me. I know he loves me. I know
yes,
that
ma'am.
He is my provider. I know nobody yes. can provide for me like the Lord. Nobody.
Amen.
Nobody.
I think one
and
of
I
the
don't
problems
have to
is
do anything to make him do it either.
Right.
Except
I
ask.
Think one of the problems.
Ask.
Amen. That's all we have to do is ask. But I think one of the problems as far as the giving and tithing issue is a lot of people are not taught correctly, because many people that I've talked with about the tithing issue will tell me, they'll automatically say, you don't believe in giving. And so that
yeah, that's
tells
what they
me,
say, yeah.
yeah. So that tells me that their pastor is not teaching them the difference between giving and tithing. And there is a difference.
Yes.
The tithe
yeah,
was a mandatory was a mandatory offering, but the giving is something that's voluntary. When you give something,
yeah.
as I said at the beginning of the show, when you give something out of love, you do it because you want to. But tithing is a demanded thing. It's a dictated amount. You give me this or I'm going to. It's basically the other person saying, I want this. It's mine, even though it belongs to you. You know, and the
yeah,
fact
exactly.
is,
it's robbery, robbery,
right.
robbery.
Now, see, people
it's
will
mine.
Argue and say, people will argue and use Jesus, you know, and say Jesus said it ought to be done, and we went over that. But they'll say they can prove that tithing is money, and they run to Matthew chapter 22, and verse
yeah.
21, where Jesus said,
yeah.
"Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God." But our gods. But the thing is if you study the context, again, context is necessary. If you study the context of what Jesus, why Jesus said, render unto Caesar, the things that are Caesar and unto God, the things that are God, you will find that Jesus was not speaking of monetary tithes in that verse at all. We know this for a couple reasons. First, because of the context itself. Because according to the context was not a question of what should we tithe. The context was a question is, should we give tribute to Caesar, to the Roman
yes.
government, and or yeah. the worldly government, we could say. Now, Jesus said, bring me a coin. And they brought him a coin. And he held it up for him, and he had said, whose image and superscription is on this coin? And they said, Caesar's. He said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Okay, now we look at that and we say, okay, our quarter, our nickel, our dime, our dollar, our $50 bill, our $100 bill, all these have the United States government, or if you're in another land, whatever currency you're using, it has the inscription of that government. That money belongs to the government. Render it to the government, as Jesus said. It does not
yes.
belong to God. Many people use the Bible and say the silver and gold are mine. Well, the silver and gold were God's and are God's. But the fact is once man defiles it and puts his little stamp of this denominational value and the government's name and everything on it, it becomes the government's. Jesus said, render unto the government that belongs to the government. Now, he went on and said, and render unto God that which belongs to God. Well, ask yourself, whose image were you made in? Whose image was man made in? The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 that man was made in God's image.
Yeah.
Now, take that back to Jesus in Matthew 22:21. Render unto God the things that are God's. Well, the image on the coin was the government's, and render it unto the government. The image on us is God. And we're to yield ourselves to God. Paul echoed these very same words or this very same thought in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 when he said, submit yourselves therefore to God. See, we a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable for us to submit ourselves, who were made in the image of God, to God. So Jesus wasn't speaking of a monetary tithe there. And another reason we know he wasn't speaking of a monetary tithe is the fact that, and we can apply this to Malachi too, that we know that Malachi could not have been speaking of a monetary tithe, because both of these men, Malachi and Jesus, were living under the law. The Bible tells us in Galatians 4:4 that Jesus was made under the law. So he had to submit to the law. Now, the law stated in Leviticus chapter 27, I mentioned it while ago earlier, that the tithe of the land was the seed of the land and the fruit of the tree. And verse 32 of Leviticus 27 adds also that it was every tenth animal to pass under the rod. So the thing is, if we look at the scripture and we rightly divide the word of truth, we find out that Jesus and Malachi, neither of them could actually have been telling you to tithe your money. Neither of them could, because if they had said tithe your money, then they would have been telling you to transgress the law. And according to the book of First John chapter 3 and verse 4, sin is the transgression of the law. So what basically, if Jesus was saying to tithe money, if Malachi was saying to tithe money, then they were saying to disobey God. They would be telling people to disobey God. Now, Jesus came to do God's will. Why would he tell you to tithe money? See, this shoots down the argument that this ye ought to have done in Luke 11:42 and Matthew 23:23 is speaking of tithing money. It can't be. Jesus was speaking of tithing under the law.
Well, because he wouldn't go against his own word, where the Old Testament, of course, never taught the monetary tithe. It was always food that was brought to the storehouse, which the storehouse was a real building where they stored food. It wasn't the church.
Now, if anybody wants to see the dimensions, of the storehouse itself, all you have to do is go into 1 Kings chapter 6. It gives the first six or seven verses give you the dimensions of the temple, of the temple porch, and of the storehouse itself, which is interesting. The storehouse was a three-tiered structure. that was attached to the outside of the temple, outside left wall, the right wall, and the rear wall. And it was interesting because it when I look at a picture of it in my mind of what it must have looked like, it sort of looked like what you would see as a Chinese pagoda. I'm sure you've seen the Chinese pagoda or Japanese pagodas, they were small on the bottom and they got larger and then they got larger at the top. Well, that's how the temple was according to the dimensions in 1 Corinthians 6. The temple storehouse was like 7.5 feet. Wide on the bottom, and then 10 feet on the top, middle, and then another 15 feet on the top, or something to that effect, if I remember correctly. But at any rate, it got bigger and bigger as they went up.
So they stored the food there at the storehouse to feed the homeless, the stranger, the widow, the orphan.
The people that came to the temple. Were in need and such, and it fed also the Levites. Now, what's interesting there, if you look at it, I'm not quite sure if the priest actually ate of the tithe. Many people say the priest ate the tithe. The tithe was the 1% that was or the 10% that was taken by the Levites to the storehouse, which would be 1% of Israel's total produce, agricultural produce. Many people say that was for the priest. But according to Numbers chapter 18, if you study Numbers 18, verses 21 through 29, you'll see something interesting there. You see that the tithe that God had given the tithe to the children of Israel to give to the Levites. That was the Levites' inheritance, it says, was the tithe of all the land. But it goes on to say to Aaron and his sons, God said, I am them thy inheritance. He didn't say that the tithe was their inheritance. He said, I am their inheritance.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure exactly if the tithe was eaten by the priest or not, because God said the tithe was for the inheritance of the Levites, and he said that the inheritance of the Aaronites, the sons of Aaron, was God himself. So I think God did provide the food for them, but not as a tithe, not in the form of tithes.
Yeah. See, Peter 5:2, this is I guess it could be directed at pastors or leaders. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And, we've caused chaos in the church world today by the greed and this need for filthy lucre and more building programs. And the pastors of many of these mega churches, so-called, they're not even filling the church, and they're already going into a building program trying to raise millions and millions of dollars to build a bigger place and build a gymnasium and build all kinds of things. And meanwhile, there's people in the congregation themselves that could be suffering. But I wanted to talk a little bit too about your new book, and you were talking about Canaan and also, I would like to do another program in the future too on tithing and take people's questions. If you have questions that you need answered, maybe that we didn't go over today, and you want to know more on the subject, and I couldn't recommend, even like Ron said, because that's what I did. I took 3 months out of my life where I did nothing but. I had one Bible. I just took one Bible. That was it. And I read through the Bible on every scripture on giving, every scripture on seed, every scripture on tithe, every scripture on free will, every scripture on offering. I just read every single scripture. And I found out the same thing. I could never find one scripture that related tithing to money. I couldn't find it. I couldn't find one scripture that talked, yeah, it's not there. I couldn't find one scripture that talked about seed sowing and applied it to money. It's not there. Just it, money was never seed. It was never seed. And so I drew my own conclusions then, and I said, well, mostly everything I've ever been taught about finances was wrong. It's wrong. It's just most of it was not right. And so you go through your financial ups and downs, and then you realize that you have to learn how to seek ye first the kingdom of God. You have Amen. To learn how to rest in God. You have to learn how to be a person of integrity. You have to learn how to live on a budget. You have to learn how to work every day to help your family. There's certain things that we have to do because most people are always blaming the devil. You see these people in church and they're screaming at the devil, devil, let go of my finances, when most of the time you're the devil. You're the devil.
That's it. That's
they're
it.
The
you're
ones that overspent. They got too many credit cards. They bought a new car or a new house they couldn't afford. And it's the lust. God says, don't ask amiss so you'll consume it on your lust. So we get ourselves into these financial messes, and then we're running to some prophet, priest, teacher, whatever, and throwing money down at his feet and hoping that we can get a miracle to get us out of it. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. I'm not saying Amen. God can't give you a miracle in your finances and something miraculous is not going to happen. I mean, God is a God of miracles, but Amen. He's also a God of, he has laws and he has ways that we're supposed to conduct ourselves. So if we follow his ways and his truth, and we give out of a heart of love because we love people, we love giving, it makes us happy to give, and we get joy from it. The person we're giving gets joy from it. We're not even supposed to be running up in a church service with money in the air and waving our checks before God. God says we're supposed to give our alms in secret. We're not
right.
supposed to blow a trumpet and sound an alarm. Here we come with our money and then brag about it. They have people coming up and giving their testimonies. I gave $10,000, and now I've got a new Mercedes-Benz or whatever. What is that? It's just like a pride show, right? It's the pride
exactly.
show.
Well, you know, the thing is, people need to realize that, and that's another issue, too, is people say they're blessed because they tithe. Like you say, I gave $10,000 and I got this Mercedes because I tithe.
Yeah.
God paid my house payment, whatever the case may be.
Yeah,
but the fact is that if we study the Word of God, we'll find out that it may not have been God that blessed them at all. You know, now that might be a shocker, but you really think about it. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, we find that Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if you study that Matthew 4, you see that Jesus was speaking to Satan at that time. The devil had taken him into the wilderness. The devil had taken him into the wilderness to tempt them, the Bible said. Actually, the Spirit took him, and he was led of the Spirit. But the devil met him in the wilderness. But the Bible tells us that the devil had offered Jesus many things. He offered him great wealth. He offered him cities. And the fact is Jesus denied it all. Jesus would not bow to the devil's lies. Instead, Jesus.
Well, the devil's a liar. The devil knew Jesus. He knew who he was.
Right.
He knew
who he
was.
The point is,
he's a liar.
Devil,
he's promising all these things that already belong to him.
Right. Well,
and
the
it's
thing
the
is,
same thing. But isn't it the same thing that we see now? It's like the devil is promising people things that already belong to him. The blessings of God are ours. And
right.
God said he promises, he says he's not going to miss the righteous forsaken or receive begging for bread. We're not going to have to go begging if we
right.
do the
right
thing.
Well, see, the problem is people are yielding to the devil's lie. They're yielding
exactly.
to the pastor's lie. They're yielding to the pastor's lie, and it may be that the devil that's actually rewarding them for lying.
Yeah, well, and
you really
think of this.
Really
too,
think
it's
about
like
it.
We used to sit there, and then there'd be people in the church that didn't have so much. There would be a few people that had a lot, and then there'd be some people that didn't have so much. So then the people that didn't have so much, we used to sit there, and then we'd hear this, oh, I gave $10,000, and oh, I gave, and we're thinking to ourselves, man, I can't give $10,000, you know?
Yeah.
I can't give $1,000. I don't have it. I'm never going to be blessed like them.
Right. What about the homeless person?
It's awful.
What about the homeless person that wanders in the street, in the church, and doesn't have a penny in his pocket? Is God just going to overlook him and say, I'm not going to bless him because he's not giving?
Yeah, or he didn't give his $10,000 or his $20,000, and God didn't pay off his house.
I
know people that brag like that, and then they wind up in bankruptcy a few years later. So I don't know. I mean, we have to be so careful. But I found in my own life that there was so much pride connected with the whole giving thing and the whole seed sowing and the whole tithing thing. And if you notice, there is a lot of pride connected with a lot of these teachings. And what did God say about pride? He said, well, when pride comes, it comes a fall. Oh, yeah, God will let you fall flat on your face. He will let you do it. Yeah, he'll let you do it. And then he'll pick you up and dust you off, and then he sets you back down straight. And he says, okay, here's my word. Here's what you have to do. You have to work. You got yourself into this mess. I'm going to help you, but you're going to have to help yourself, too. You're going to have to learn some discipline. And I like discipline a lot better. A lot better. I like living my life with discipline. And I don't go crazy buying myself things that I can't afford. There's a lot of things I would like to have. Or, you know, that you lust after and you think I have to have that. But I don't do it because if I can't afford it and I can't pay cash for it, then I'm not getting it. I'm just not going to do it. So anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about, we have about 13 minutes left, but about your new book. And you were talking about Canaan.
Well, the new book is called The Biblical Tithe, and it's still in production. I'm still writing a few chapters in it, and I'm waiting for a foreword that I've talked with or corroborated with David Lee on, and he's going to do the writing of it, and I do appreciate that. David Lee is a great man of God, I believe, who loves the Lord, and he's got a ministry, and I encourage people that they look on Facebook for David Lee and read some of his writings, because he's very
wise in
the
Word. Yeah, Sunday Morning Stick Up. Yeah, that
his
book
is called Sunday
excellent.
Morning
it's
Stick Up, and it is
book.
An excellent book.
David Lee was an associate of T.D. Jakes, worked with T.D. Jakes for many, many years, and they picked him up bodily out of the potter's house one Sunday morning with his two children sitting with him. He was an elder there. He knew TD for probably over 20 years back to the West Virginia days. But because he wrote this book, Sunday Morning Stick Up, about tithing, they ran him out of the church. They picked him up. They called the police and had him escorted out of the church. Now that's TD Jakes for you. What are you afraid of? What's he afraid of? Anyway, David Lee's a brave man. It's a great book. He doesn't even mention T.D. Jakes in this book. He doesn't even mention him. I don't know what they were so afraid of, because people have Bibles. What are they afraid of, that people are actually going to read the Bible for themselves and not wait for T.D. to tell them what it says on Sunday? But Sunday Morning Stick Up.
You know, and kicking him out of the church, it really showed a poor picture of the potter's house, if you really think about it, because Galatians chapter 6 says, if one is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, lest ye also be tempted. Now, you know, by them calling the police and having the police haul him off the property and in front of his family, like you said, his two children and his wife and other people that were friends around him, Instead of doing that, by doing that, they're showing that that they have no spiritual authority in that church whatsoever, because it said, "Ye which are a spiritual, restore such an one." And instead of restoring such a one, they kick him out. They thought he was in error. He definitely was not in error. I can tell you right now.
No, he definitely was not.
That which he's teaching was on the tithing was truth. If anything,
well,
it's the church
Petey
that was
doesn't
in error.
Want. Look at how well Petey Jakes has lived off of the tithe.
Exactly.
The tithe made TD rich, as it has many, many pastors and leaders today. They like to tell you that God gave me everything I have. Well, yeah, I mean, I'd have a lot, too. I could be bragging, too, about being a millionaire if I was collecting 10% from 1,000 people, 5,000 people, 10,000 people. Yeah, I'd be rich, too. But it has nothing to do with God. I mean, God didn't do it.
If they're not trying to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, then you have to ask the question, are they actually spiritual, or do they just have a form of godliness but deny
the
power?
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, because don't tell me that God did it, and then every Sunday you get up and you smack people over the head and you have a Sunday morning stick up to get 10%. And then you're going to tell me that God gave it to you? No, God didn't give it to you. No. You know how God gives you things in the secret place in your prayer closet. That's how he gives you things.
Exactly. Here's something that's really interesting. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 28 says that the lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and that it will one day bring them to ruin. Now, this is interesting because you see that in a case with David Lee being kicked out of the potter's house. The lying tongue is that tongue that tells the untruth about the tithe. And they hated God. They hated the fact that David was teaching the truth so much that they kicked him out of the church.
Yeah.
And one day they're going to find out that they are brought to ruin, not David. God's going to advance David in this truth.
That's what happens. And God always waits till you're at the pinnacle, because the Bible says he gives you space to repent. He gives you a chance. His mercy
Amen.
Is long suffering, the mercy of God. And but he'll take, I guarantee you, he'll take TD when TD least expects it. When he least expects it, if he doesn't repent, and his sins will be uncovered. That's just the way it is, because when you're in a leadership position, especially in the body of Christ, you have a double responsibility, because you're responsible for talking and for telling people things, and they're listening to you. You have a responsibility to people. So you have to take that responsibility to heart. And, when they're not telling you the truth and they're building these little kingdoms and it's based on a lie, it's not going to last, because they're not building a solid foundation on the rock. So you build your house on the sand, it's going to sink. We have sinkholes all over Florida, because they come in, they dig holes, they pour sand in the holes, and then they build a house. And it's not built on a solid foundation, and it sinks. So
that's right.
That's what happens. But so when will your book be ready, Ron?
Well, I'm still in the process of writing it. I hope to have it finished within the next couple weeks. And then within 2 to 3 weeks after I have finished the writing, it should be on the market. So probably by the end of June.
Are available on Amazon?
I have 3 books available on Amazon. And I encourage you, just look up the author Ronald Roby or Ronald W. Roby.
Roby.
They can
go back and forth with you on Facebook. You have a public Facebook page.
I do have a public Facebook page, Ronald W. Roby. And my books are titled, the first one was called The Tithe of the Land. The second one was Will a Man Rob God? And the third one is Tithing Scriptural.
Okay.
And certainly,
and those are available. They're not expensive, and they will help you. they will help you in your study to search the scriptures for yourself. But Ron did a good job. As you can see, he is the Bible answer man on tithing. He knows God's word on the subject. He knows it. So, and anyway, also, we had a pretty good sound quality today. I want to thank my guests for helping out with that. And yeah, you sound good. Your microphone's working good. And hopefully we did get a good broadcast, because I'm excited. I've been asking the Lord to increase this broadcast, and I did. Someone contacted me this week about going on their Eternity Ready radio network, and I'm hoping that God will open more doors. And we have important things to say. And I encourage you, if you have something to say that's important, get yourself a YouTube channel, or get yourself a web page, or get yourself a radio program on Blog Talk Radio. They're still offering free programs. I think you can still get a 20-minute or a 30-minute program for free to start out with. So do something for the kingdom of God today. And use your gifts for the glory of God. Like, look at my guest here, Ron, how he's studied to show himself approved on the subject of tithing. And he's really done an excellent service to the body of Christ. We want people to be free. We are in the 500th year celebrating the Reformation of the Church. And, of course, there's always been a Reformation in the Church, but this is the Reformation that occurred during Martin Luther's time, where they were selling miracles, the Catholic Church was, and he objected to it. And that's basically what we do, is we object to the selling of the gospel, as far as the selling of miracles, the buying of the blessings and things like that. So we have Reformation TV, and we want to bring truth, safety, and security to the body of Christ, as far as we want to finish the Reformation where they started, where the reformers started it. We want to finish it by helping people to see the truth. And we need the truth. I mean, we need the truth more than ever, because we have to hang on to that solid foundation of that rock, which is Christ, more than ever now in the crazy times we're living in, that's for sure. So, Ron, I want to thank you so much. And don't forget, everybody, we'll do another program in the next few weeks. And if you have questions, you can email them to me at susan@propheticnews.com, or you can send me a friend request on Facebook, and we can help you out there, or go to Ron Roby's Facebook page, too.
Amen.
All right. God bless you, Ron. Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you,
for
Susan.
Coming on. I enjoyed it very
Thank
much.
You, Susan.
Thank
I enjoyed
you.
It as well.
Yeah. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. Thank you so much, everybody in the chat room. Thank you for stopping by. I appreciate you so very much. Everybody that's on the phone today, thank you for stopping by. We're trying to step up the quality of our broadcast, because we believe that God will add the increase, and we want more people to hear the message that we're preaching. So, anyway, remember, the most important message, though, is, are you born again? Have you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins, and have you repented of your sins? You never know when your life could be over and you could have a guarantee of eternal life, a home in heaven with the Lord Jesus. Jesus said in John 3, that ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, then ye must be born again of the Spirit of God. Also, read the book of Romans today, and in the book of Romans it says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You must confess your sins and confess the Lord Jesus as Lord. Believe that he was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. and he ascended into heaven, and he is a real person, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he said he's coming again. Hallelujah. So no matter what it looks like in the world today, Jesus is coming again. God bless you. We'll be back next week.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.